Kyle and comrades. I mean, just now, Comrade Segun spoke, and it was just coming to my mind in terms of the deprivation, the grotesque inequality, and the horrid picture that is there in the neo-colonial world. There is a sort of competition. If you look at whether it is Asia, Africa, or Latin America. So I was just some of the figures that he gave, you know, something very, very similar. I mean, 36 rich people were today considered as the global super rich, or Indians, and they enjoy 27% of the India's GDP assets. Their own assets were worth 27%. And at the same time, while India is being painted that there is a super growth, even in these times of economic crisis, I mean, last week when we were at the IEC, there was a figure of 8.9%, which is almost 9% growth in the last quarter. But I mean, those figures do not tell you the real situation in the context of India. I mean, according to the government reports, you know, one of the reports furnished by the government in last year, 77% of the population live on not on $2 a day, but less than half a dollar a day. That is 20 rupees is the earning of 77% of people. That is 900 million people live on that particular earnings. So at the same time, you can, one can point out the issue of the kind of the boom that has taken place, or relatively, which is still going on. But yes, the goodies, the white goods, or what we call the consumerist products, consumer products, they are there. That's according to one figure that I saw recently. There are 634 million mobile phones in India. Perhaps that is the second biggest concentration of mobile phones in the world. Yes, the poor people today, the families whose incomes do not suffice for a proper calorie intake in their budget, in their monthly budget, around 7 pounds of monthly budget becomes the mobile phone expense. I mean, whether they like it or not, they are forced into that kind of a consumerist culture where mobile phones have invaded the country in such a... Of course, some people, some of the super middle class or upper middle class, feel proud of such a situation. The entire country is a building site. One of my friends from England, he was recently in Delhi. He said, after a long time he had been there, he said, Delhi is a big building site. That's true. Not just Delhi, the entire country, because of the metro invasion, another metro invasion, the entire country, all the metropolitan cities, what you call our cosmopolitan cities in India, are today feverishly taking this infrastructure building, which is causing a lot of health hazards. In Delhi, 3 out of 10 children, every 10 children, has bronchial asthma issues. In Bangalore, where I'm based, 7 out of 10 children have got respiratory problems. And this is a country where so-called new inventions that are taking place, you know, the Tata, the global, one of the global rich, boasts that he has brought out the cheapest car for India, I mean, around $1,200 in the next couple of months. Indian middle class or upper middle class can get the cars. But for the ordinary people, that even that to imagine another 25,000, 50,000 or a lakh of cars in their cities and in rural areas It is a mind-boggling, and it's a hell that is going to come further into the hell. So that is the reality. At the same time, it's like vultures hovering around the entire geography of India. Name any multinational, they are there, especially the mining multinationals. You know, we are at the moment the New Socialist Alternative, that the CWI section in India is part of a struggle that is going on in Orissa. South Korean steel giant POSCO wants to acquire 4,004 acres of land, displacing 10 villages, which comprises 22,000 families. I mean, one of the slogan, those 22 villages say this: please don't develop us to destroy us, because they have their own sustained all these days, even though in poverty, they were sustaining themselves with the agriculture, with the there is one particular, I mean, some of you who may be who may know the culture in India, that chewing palm, the betel leaves, that particular area has got a special type of betel leaves which is sweet, sweet in its taste, because the that particular coastal area is of saline less water, so it grows a special type of betel leaves which is in great demand in the West Asia, in Middle East. In Middle East countries. So they were depending on that. They had their own trade, they had their own agriculture, cashew farming, and betel wine. So they were very happy. But now a company has come and wants to acquire 4,004 acres of land. Not just in that particular area, around 120 kilometers of Bhubaneswar, which is the state capital of Orissa, but the entire Orissa, which was for years, for 50, 60 years, was a neglected state. I mean, I was there a few weeks ago. I mean, some of the villages, you know, one would not imagine. I mean, I come from the country where poverty is very stark, but even I was shocked. I had a culture shock when I went to Orissa. See, the entire... You hire a cycle rickshaw. I mean, maybe it's a bit of a fashion in some of the Western countries now. You hire a cycle rickshaw and you ask him to take you around Bhubaneswar for 8 hours, and he would be very happy if you pay him 25 rupees. That is half dollar. Half a dollar. Because a few years ago when I went, the price was 5 rupees, so that way there is a growth in their lives. But that's the seriousness of the poverty there, and that is the neglect. That particular issue is a very big issue. Today I was just had the opportunity to read one of the articles in Financial Times, which is a news item actually. I mean, in which the Home Minister, the present Home Minister of India, who belongs to the Congress Party, which has ruled India for almost 85% since the independence in 1947, he admits people in the region, in Andhra Pradesh, people in the region feel they have been neglected, despite speaking the same language by the governments that have ruled that. That state for many years. That is the statement of a minister who belongs to your party, which has ruled the entire India for nearly 85 to 90%. And that graphically explains the present situation in India. Every state, barring few, like Maharashtra, even in Maharashtra, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, and Karnataka, barring those 5 or 6, the other 26 or 23 states feel they are neglected. You know, why this particular news item has come? That because of the struggle of the one region in Andhra Pradesh called Telangana, there is a huge movement for a separate state in that particular region. And that state particular agitation today is at a peak point. The leader of that agitation was on a hunger strike for the last 11 days, and the government panicked, and they have said that we are going to separate Telangana from Andhra Pradesh. But that decision yesterday midnight, has opened a Pandora's box. Today, I mean, already in Gorkhaland, in West Bengal region, which are the Gorkhas who are on agitation for a very long time, they are sitting on a fast unto death hunger strike for a separate state to be carved out of West Bengal. And there are numerous such demands that are going to come up. You know, some of the news channels which were beaming today said, you know, this is unimaginable. They thought they are going to quell a movement, but there is going to be a new complete chaos that's going to happen in India. See, that is the, I mean, while at the one point the Indian rich and the Indian ruling class would like to boast that India is going to somehow reach by 2020 the first world, you know, sir, some of the, I mean, one of my friends who went to India, he said, you know, the city is like any Western country. You know, the metros that are there in Delhi, I mean, much better than the tube in London. That's true to an extent, because I mean, over the years I've been seeing that how London tube has got to the third world, whereas some of the other regions in India and elsewhere, some sort of a modernity is coming. But this is very, very dubious picture that is being given in relation to India. I mean, in the time left, I need to do my international duty because I'm part of the struggle that is taking place in Sri Lanka for a just society, for an equal society, and of course, more than anything else, the plight of the Tamil working class and the poor is an issue that has led to a 30-year war there, which of course, yeah, the guerrillaism ended by the killing of some of the guerrillas, including the chief of LTTE, Prabhakaran. So, as Marxists and as socialists on the ground, we have been campaigning for the right of self-determination of the Tamil people and their democratic rights in Sri Lanka. And we have been seen as the true champions of their struggle, not just in the south, but also in the north and east itself. And today, since last year, you know, at the height of the war there, we started a campaign. Of course, it started in the name of Stop the Slaughter of Tamils, but today it has renamed itself as Tamil Solidarity. And to bring that particular issue into context of India itself, what happened in Sri Lanka, the so-called success of Rajapakse government has set the tone, and it has become a model around the world, especially in India. A big movement against the Adivasis, that is the tribal, indigenous tribal people, Dalits, women, whoever is questioning the neoliberal offensive that is taking place in India. They are being termed as Maoists or terrorists, and an offensive, a military offensive is taking place in the name of Operation Green Hunt. And it's in a very big scale. I mean, apart from the concentration of troops that is there in Kashmir, around 750,000 troops in Kashmir, in the Indian occupied Kashmir, and the entire northeastern region, which is occupied by military, today in central India, in the name of flushing out the Maoists and the terrorists in central India, 75,000 troops have been deployed in the last week alone. So there is a crying need for a change in India. I mean, against the oppression that is taking place, and also on to fight for democratic rights and economic rights, and also to see a way forward. And the need of that can only be achieved by a socialist revolution in India. And that's the that is the effort that the new socialist alternative is putting. Of course, it's a very vast country. Our comrades are very scattered, but we are making headway in some of the important states such as Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, now Orissa, and also in West Bengal. I wanted to touch upon West Bengal, the parody of so-called Marxists that is taking place there, but I don't have time with the words here.